Thank you so much to Magda, thank you to Cheryl, thank you to Paul, thank you to all of you. And it's great to be able to reflect on this reading from Isaiah 65. We have actually come to the end of our series on Isaiah, but I wanted to slip in an extra one, basically because I'm so excited by Isaiah 65. It's absolutely wonderful. It's gripped me and it's thrilled me over a few weeks now. And I hope to be able to convey some of that to you. And it speaks very powerfully of newness and new heavens and a new earth. A slide is going to come up on the screen that also just emphasizes stuff that is new. I don't know how well you can see that, but you've got daffodils and you've got snowdrops, and they speak, of course, of spring and of newness of life. Cheryl and I went to Fountains Abbey yesterday in the afternoon. I don't know if you know it, to the north of here. When we have a day out, we tend to head north, which is interesting. It's just lovely, lovely countryside. And it's a really beautiful spot. And you could see the daffodils, you could see the snowdrops, and you could see the sun. Yeah, that big yellow thing in the sky that has been absent for many days in recent times is actually there, and it's shining, and you can feel it on your back and your face. And there is that sense that spring has really sprung. There is a mini heat wave on the way in the week ahead that we can enjoy. It's new, it's fresh, it's exciting. The hymn talks about the different seasons, summer and winter and springtime and harvest. And we're moving out of winter and we're into the spring, the time when things had died back and were dead and they're springing to life again. And then the final picture on the screen is Alison's baptism at Crag last Sunday. So exciting. The small building was pretty much packed. We had people in from Crag Alpha. One of the local councillors was in, and Paul and Alison, who have been on this great journey of faith. And it's so exciting and wonderful, and it's new. It's newness of life. It's the good news of our Lord Jesus. Someone who was lost and was without God and without hope has discovered the wonderful, glorious hope of the gospel, the sure and certain forgiveness, the new life that comes through knowing Jesus. It's just exciting and it's wonderful and it's new. And here in verse 17 of our reading, you have the new heavens and the new earth. And it's really, really thrilling. We have a God who does new things, whether it's in creation or salvation or new creation. And it brings great joy into our hearts. Great joy last Sunday, great joy as we witness and as we appreciate the goodness of spring, and great and wonderful joy in our passage. In just the first few verses of the reading, there are words like glad and rejoice and joy and delight, and they're repeated and they just weave together in the reading this wonderful tapestry of joy as a response to what God is going to do. And what I want us to reflect on today is just a couple of things. What I'm going to try and do is just put this reading, this event, the coming of the new heavens and the new earth, in its context. When does this happen? What's the biblical timeline? What are we talking about here? So I'll just step away from the passage for a moment and just think about this in the larger biblical story. And then what we'll do is come back to the passage and we'll think about what this is going to be like for those of us who are going to be there. So first of all, the larger story that we have. What is this, and when is it going to happen? First of all, really, we need to think about Jesus, and we need to think about his life and his death and his resurrection and what that achieved and what is to come. So we believe from the scriptures that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be born as a baby at Bethlehem and to live amongst us, son of God and son of man, fully God and fully man. And he lived and he taught. He lived a perfect life. His teaching is perfect. And yet because of our rebellion, because of our wrongdoing, what the Bible calls sin, he was nailed to a cross. So Jesus came and he lived and he died. But that wasn't the end of the story. There was more. There was gloriously more to come. Because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The Father's amen to Jesus' finished work on the cross. On the cross, something wonderful was achieved. Forgiveness of sins. New life for all who believe. And as a guarantee of that, Jesus rose from the dead. Death could not hold him. Death could not defeat him. But even that is not the end. Sometimes as Christians, we think very much about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, and we sort of stop. But there's more to come because Jesus ascended into heaven. Acts 1 speaks about this. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Prayed about this earlier. It's the place of honor and glory and authority and power. In the book of Hebrews, we read that he ever lives to pray for us. He is alive and he is God over the whole world. He is the sovereign God. But even that is not the end. This is the point. Because Acts 1 reminds us that Jesus is coming again. Many other Bible passages speak into this. 1 Thessalonians 5 is one that gives some of the basic material for us. Jesus is coming again. So he came once, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he's living and reigning, and he is coming again, and he will make all things new. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And this is where this prophecy of Isaiah fits in. Isaiah 65, some of the words and imagery are taken up in the very final passages of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, where we read again this language, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus is coming back, and that is when this will happen. Where do we fit in to this? Well, if we have believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord, then we are safe and secure in him. And it may be that we die before Jesus returns again. And if so, we go to be with the Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful. And various reflections on what happens in that time, I would say, I think from the biblical data, that we are conscious. Revelation 6 is one passage that seems to suggest that. When Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians 5, he says to be with the Lord, even if we're away from the body, is far better. But here's the thing. That is not our final destination, because when Jesus comes again, we will rise, we will have new bodies, and there will be an embodied future in the new heavens and the new earth. And this is the thing. I keep saying this is the thing, but I'm really encouraged by this personally, and I hope I'm conveying this to you in some way. That our future is solid and real and permanent and embodied. That's the thing. New heavens and a new earth. And as 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us, we are going to have resurrection bodies in this solid physical future. What do we think about when we think about heaven? Sometimes we think about something that is very sort of wispy and thin and almost ghostly. We think, well, we're just going to be souls and we're going to be floating around on some fluffy cloud. We think of angels playing harps, and it's a rather monochrome vision. It's not particularly solid. It's not particularly tangible. It's a bit thin and transparent and ethereal and spiritual in perhaps a rather unhelpful sense. And we sort of think, well, I'm not sure I'm really looking forward to that. And it's so much more than that. It's so much more wonderful than that. Being with the Lord Jesus in a disembodied state, of course, is far more wonderful than that. But the real destination, the real future, is the new heavens and the new earth that is solid and embodied and real and eternal and just so weighty. The idea of glory in the Bible has that sense of weight, of solidity, of something that is just pressed down and strong and sure. And we're going to have real bodies, solid bodies, more solid than this one. And the world is going to be one where there is touch and there is taste and there is glory and there is wonder. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The renewal of creation, as Romans 8 puts it. And the new heavens and the new earth, as we read in Revelation 21 and 22. And in our passage today also. I want to encourage you to reflect on these things. I want to encourage you to appreciate them more deeply. I want to encourage you to know your future. You need to make that commitment to Jesus for this to be your future. There is a judgment to come, and Isaiah talks about that, and Revelation talks about that as well. Make that commitment to Jesus today and know him as Savior and Lord. But if you do that, if you make that commitment, if you step out on the life of discipleship, receiving forgiveness and new life, then this is your future. And it's just so encouraging to take it on board and to know it feeding through into your life today. Four things from the passage. I thought I ought to get to the passage eventually. And here we go with Isaiah 65 and a whistle-stop tour, just thinking about the glory and the wonder of the new heavens and the new earth. So in verses 17 to 19, you see the reality of this coming into birth and rejoicing over Jerusalem. Jerusalem to be a delight and a joy. And in Revelation, as I've said, the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. And our future is city living. We are going to be city dwellers. And that might fill us with a sense of, oh really? I prefer the countryside. I prefer getting out into the garden. We think of cities perhaps as dusty and dirty and noisy and busy. But this is, as John Mark Comer says, a garden city. It is a beautiful city. It is perfectly designed with space and with air to breathe and with love and life. The idea of a city is the idea of fellowship, of being not alone, but being with others who are in this new heavens and the new earth with us. It's God's ideal, which is so poorly reflected in our cities today, but which is wonderful and strong and sure. So it's going to be a city. It's going to be life in all its fullness. I've already mentioned the language of joy, the gladness, the rejoicing, the delight, the joy that is here. And it is partly there because, wow, it's just joyful and it's just wonderful. But it's also that the hurts of the past have been healed and redeemed. Again, we're still in these early verses. But listen again to this. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. And there is that sense of the things that have happened to us in life, of the damaging things that we've been through, the grief, the bereavements, the shame maybe, the things that have just sort of come to pieces in our hands, the things that we've longed for, but it's never quite come off, the tears, the grief, the sadness, the injustice, the pain, that all of that will be in the past. Read in Revelation, God himself will come and will wipe the tears from their eyes. It's a beautiful, beautiful vision. I want to say to you that those of you who know pain and who have known pain, there is a glorious future that is coming. It's not all future. It's life in all its fullness, which is life now and life in the age to come. But those things that have unraveled, those things that have been so tough, God is going to be at work and he will dry your tears and they will be a glorious, glorious future for those who will believe. Redemption of work. Again, some of these things are so surprising. Again, you think of the new heavens and the new earth, and we might immediately think it's going to be one long holiday. We're just going to be there. We're going to be there on our sun loungers. We're not going to be doing anything. Maybe it's going to be a long, long, long worship service, which might fill some of you with joy, but not all of you necessarily. But here's the thing, that there is a strong sense of purpose in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's remind ourselves of some of the words that Magda read. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Now that's an interesting depiction of the new heavens and the new earth. It might be that you're going to be a house builder. It might be that you're going to be a horticulturalist. It might be that you will be doing other work, but it is not a future without work. But what sort of work will it be? It will be a work that we enjoy and that we enjoy the fruit of. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. So work has been corrupted. Genesis chapter 3 and the fall, work has been spoiled. Work was always part of God's original plan, but it's now marred by the fall. And we toil away and we labor for others. Think of the terrible things that have happened with P&O. These people, some of whom who have worked for the company for 20, 30 years, who with no warning and no real inkling as to what was to happen, suddenly found in a moment they were out, and others had been brought in to do their work more cheaply. Are just so poor. People who have worked and who've worked and who've worked, and for what reward? You think of people around the world, those who are working in sweatshops in Bangladesh and in a whole range of other places, producing luxury goods for others to use and being paid a pittance for it. People who are working, but work has been marred and spoiled. And here in this glorious, wonderful, effervescent new future, there is work that is being done to the glory of God, and it's work that is just, and we are enjoying the benefits of it along with others. And then finally, there is harmony. This image that you may well have heard of before, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Once heard someone said, when I was tucking into some meat, you know we're going to be vegetarians in heaven. Let's say in the new heavens and the new earth, to put it accurately, and as we're talking about here. And I guess, actually, that's true. And actually, the animals are going to be vegetarians or vegans. You know, you're going to have this lion, and it's not going to be eating the lamb. It's not going to be eating us either, which is a great encouragement. It's going to be having straw and grass. There is something here that is harmonious. That it is the renewal of creation. It is new, but it also has continuity with the past. But the things about it that have been marred and spoiled, nature red in tooth and claw, that's going to be redeemed, and it's going to be right, and it's going to be how it should be, and it's going to be glorious and wonderful and harmonious. We're heading up to the time of Easter, and we're going to be thinking about events of Christ's passion in the weeks ahead. But after that, we're going to do a story, God willing, we're going to do a series on the big story, and we're going to think about these big themes of Bible and where we fit into them. I'm so looking forward to that. But to now know the reality of this, of our future, where there is going to be harmony and grace and purpose and joy, and that solid, solid future. What does the hymn writer say? Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Know that it's the truth, know that it's real, and put your trust in Jesus. And as you do so, allow this glorious, glorious future, which is ours, to bleed into the present, to inform the way that we live today, joyfully, lightly, and giving all for Jesus, who is our Saviour and Lord, who has lived for us, wonderful, who has died for us, absolutely amazing, who has risen again for us, what a joy that is, but who also has ascended into heaven for us, is living and reigning right now, and will come again to bring in the new heavens and the new earth. We will rise and we will be there, and we will have a future that is solid, real, and joyful, and forevermore. Let's pause for a moment. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of reflection, and then the band are going to come back. But let's just pause quietly in the presence of our God. On the clouds, our God is a lion, the lion of Judah. And as we come to the end of this song, the children are going to come back in. We're going to hear from Kresh, and we're going to continue to worship our God. But first of all, let's stand